Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
It's Monday, the 26th of July. I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by Mr. Luke Moore. We're doing the Luke and Pete show. Just two lads having a little chat about this and that. How's your weekend been, Lukey?
So one of my favourite of your intros, that. It's been pretty good. Yeah. The weather finally broke, didn't it?
Which yeah. was oh, it needed it. Didn't
pleasing.
It need it?
We needed it. The garden needed it, Peter. Yeah. But yeah, so all good. Yeah, pretty good. Not much to complain about. Was at a friend's 40th birthday at the weekend, which is kind of nice because it was probably the most normal birthday party I've been to since all this stuff started happening. So I was pretty happy
right.
with that.
Were you going in for hugs and stuff? Because I've been to several my weekends are really filling up, to be quite frank. I don't think I've got a free one until October, and it's worrying me. I'm getting...
Showing off?
Well, I'm just saying that, like, we got excited about moving to a new house, so my partner that I have access to has basically just thrown invites all over the gaff, so just there's people arriving all the time. I was at a stag do over the weekend. I also went to a wedding as well, so just kind of in the right order, but very, very squished together. I had a stag do in York for Friday and Saturday, and then went straight to Richmond Park for a wedding on the Sunday.
Lovely. I've been to a wedding at Richmond Park. Absolutely lovely spot.
It? What a beautiful spot.
Yeah, so nice. What was the stag weekend like?
It was. I've never been out drinking in York, and everyone's very lovely. We had a lovely old time. It was. It seems that no one's really adhering to any kind of mask wearing at all in York. I don't know whether that's just unique to York or just people just generally are just done with it. But I was trying my best. I was trying to be safe and sensible because we've all got responsibilities. We've all got loved ones. But yeah, went to the races. That was like one big fucking Petri dish. The real winner was Tit Tape. A lot of very, crazy dresses I was wearing just to get... It was crazy. I was like, where do people wear these clothes? If not at the races, like the men are all dressed like your provincial. What I used to wear 2 years ago, very bright, very brash top man clothes, and the lasses are wearing just nothing.
and so the races is a really interesting place because it's one of the only places I can think of where you genuinely get really posh people and really working class people all there for mostly the same reasons. It's kind of a weird situation because honestly, you can go. I was at Cheltenham races, the Cheltenham Festival a few years ago, and you can bump into people at Cheltenham who you think, I don't want to be sat next to them on the train home. But you can also next to people who I can't understand what they're saying because they're so posh. You know, you get everything from one extreme to the other. Very, very interesting. But what did you back any winners?
Well, the thing that confused me, yes, I did, Luke, actually. I people complain about the proliferation of betting in some of our podcasts, and to them I say, you've never won loads of money at the horses, because that's what I did.
were you really like cheering it on down the final furlong, were you?
I was honestly, I was like, I just picked the funny names. I would pretend that I knew that what I was doing because I used to work in a betting shop back in the day. And obviously, going back to a betting shop at this point and kind of putting bets on was very quaint. You get your little slip back with what you've written down. And it really took me back to being 18 or 19 and working in John Joyce in the northeast of England in the betting shops. I picked the silly names, and also I picked one called Bangkok, one called International Boy, I think.
Just a Friday or the Saturday?
This is for Saturday at York. So I was back in a lot of each ways. So from £50 in, I made £300. What's that about?
Very good.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, International Boy came second in the 350 at 15-2.
Each way, baby.
And you backed Bangkok as well.
I backed Bangkok and it came in first.
That romped in at 14-1, Donaldson. Absolute golden touch. Midas, they call him.
But the thing about it was that, like, I was looking at, me and my friends were looking at the what we thought were the odds, but it turns out it was the weight of the horses. And I was like, that looks good. Put that on.
That is excellent. And were you too embarrassed to claim your money?
No, I stomped it because I didn't know which. I couldn't remember what each way actually means because for a big field, you can get third place.
It's places, yeah. It just depends on the size of the field. Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know. Like, I've forgotten all of that. I've forgotten what a Yankee was, forgotten what a Heinz is and stuff, and just put the, and just gave them the slips and went, is there any money in that?
I love the idea of you going up to the tote at the side of the track and going, I'll have a. A tenner on International Boy, 11 stone 8, please. That's
fantastic.
So, yeah,
it turns out gambling's brilliant. I'm brilliant at it. And this is the start of a beautiful career in which I lose my house.
It's definitely a career for you. I think that's 100% true. And I also, one of the best things about if you go, I love going to the races. I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. I enjoy going to the races and I enjoy having a bet on the horses when I go there. One of the most fun things about it, particularly these days, is because you never really have cash anymore, right? Getting some money out, going to the races, having a tenner on something, and getting the winnings back in cash.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm in the past, I think.
I used my Electron card, or what's that one that they used to give you, a solo card, where you couldn't go past your overdraft. I put the bets on with the card, but then they give you cash back, which is very exciting.
Yeah,
because you just don't have cash anymore. And the one thing I did sort of notice is that like you know, your Ascots and your Yorks, you know, they go on the races. People get really drunk there, but I don't know how because. They may have been putting these races on for 100 years. Could not get a drink for love nor money. I had to, at one point, just buy a bottle of the cheapest champagne and just sit there, like, just outside the little hut and just drink it by myself. Put glass by glass, just slamming it down.
I can see it now. I've had two winners today. Barman, fetch me a celebratory bottle of your cheapest champagne.
Well, it was £40 for the cheapest champagne, and 48 for the second cheapest, the rosé version of the same champagne. But they only had one bottle of champagne left, and it was the rosé. She gave me £8 off, so there you go.
They said, Mr. Donaldson, we closed some time ago. You really must be getting home now. I can give you one bottle of champagne for £40 if you fuck off now. But you had a nice time, though, yeah? It sounds like it was great fun.
Oh, good. I mean, I've taken a year off partying, and my body has not, in any way, kind of, my body's kind of left that life behind to a certain extent. Mm. So I did find it very difficult to make it to the wedding the evening after in Richmond. But again, that was quite nice to be at a wedding.
Yeah.
I think the limit is 30 people, so they limited to 30 people.
What, and you got the nod?
Ryan,
who
called,
was it?
Well, I hadn't had the nod until last Friday. It basically just went, Pete, do you want to come to the wedding? Because we didn't think that the restrictions were going to be lifted. We didn't think we were going to be able to get this amount of people in. So please come if you want to come. And so it's this Spanish girl and a lad from Manchester getting married. And it was really lovely. And when the first dance happened, I may have had a heavy weekend.
You cried.
Did get a bit teary. Yeah.
I think the way they planned it was they went, right, we've got 30 people. First in, Donaldson. Then our parents are going to have to come as well. So that's 5. But you were right up there.
I think that a lot of people got pinged the week before.
Maybe. You've been the beneficiary of that. Was it free?
Party. Yeah, it was hot for it. Yeah, I felt quite guilty.
Can I just ask what your the races aside? Because I've not been to York really. I've passed through it, but I've not really been there. What would be the kind of takeaways from the apparently beautiful city of York, as per your experiences?
I don't know why your cathedral's highest point is so flat. All of the other parts of York Cathedral have got big sort of little spires coming out, big spires coming out of the top of them.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the highest point on that cathedral is just very flat. You eat your dinner off it. I don't understand why it's so flat. I'm sure there's probably a reason. Maybe they ran out of money. But I suggest we put little spires on top.
Well, after your winnings at the horses, presumably you could fund their new building.
Push it straight in the box, mate. Push it straight in the box.
Transfer it straight. I've won this money on the horses. I'm transferring it straight to the house of God. With the money lenders in the temple. It's what Jesus would have wanted. Classic.
So yeah, it was good. And
go on.
But yeah, and apparently they really like Vikings. I forgot about that. Because obviously I used to go there a lot for school trips. Used to go to the Jorvik Viking Centre all of the time. But unfortunately, I kind of forgot about Jorvik Viking Centre and the train museum and stuff. So like when I actually went, I saw loads of people dressed, and I just thought it was like Game of Thrones or something. I was like, these absolute dweebs going to the beer halls and dressed as Game of Thrones. And then I remembered it's the Vikings, isn't it?
Is it because the Danelaw was where York is? Where they had the Danish, the Danish had their kind of their run of things in whenever it was, I don't know, like the 10th century or something. I told you I read that book on the Anglo-Saxons, right? So I'm paraphrasing here, but they had, I think it's part of some kind of compromise when the Vikings were raiding England. They had their own little spot in England for a bit,
right?
And I think it might be where York is now. Maybe I may be completely wrong, but it seems like that would be the obvious reason.
I mean, I don't know when they built. I don't. Presumably later they built their big walls around the city. It's actually quite a hard city to get around because
of the walls.
Because the walls and the traffic's very heavy. And I presume that's why they built the walls in the first place. But they've outgrown their use and they should be knocked down.
Isn't it? Dawson's approach to fucking National Trust.
Raise it to the ground.
Isn't that every city now, though? I mean, not to get too Alan Partridge about it and talk about the pedestrianisation of Norwich city centre, but isn't every city like that now? It's just... every time I go somewhere now, I'm going to visit someone, or I'm going somewhere else, someone who lives there will say, oh, yeah, don't go in the morning or in the afternoon because it'll be busy with traffic. Every single place. Right. It used to just be London and probably Birmingham, Manchester were like that. It's terrible everywhere now.
I just sort of think that, you know, I appreciate that we have to think about emissions and we have to think about speed restrictions and we have to think about how we use our city and why we use certain parts of our cities. But I will also say that I'm you know, on the lip, hopefully, of learning to drive. So it seems like everyone's had 20 years of good driving before I've got all of it. I feel like I've got into Oasis around BDI time. It's not right. I feel bad. As soon as we moved in, apparently, they were, like within 3 days of us moving in, the council had put a piece of paper on the wall saying, we're going to be getting rid of some of your parking spaces. I was like, I've not needed a parking space for 20 years. Yeah. That could have been driving. I didn't drive. Unbelievable.
Is it enough to make you change your mind?
Honestly, I'm going to go to the council and write a letter or something.
Classic. I was going to say to you, what is the latest on the old driving test? Are you taking it again soon?
I'm taking it again relatively soon, but for my own mental health, I'm not going to be announcing
fair enough.
I'm doing it.
Speaking of, the reason I read about that Danelaw place, I think that's how you pronounced it, is because it was one of the questions that came up in the Wi-Fi Have Access To's Life in the UK test, which she passed last week.
Oh, my God, that one where if you get to get citizenship and stuff.
Yeah, you need it for indefinite leave to remain, and you need it for citizenship. Yeah, so those of you listening who haven't listened very long, my wife's not from the UK, and so she had to pass it last week, and she did. And one of the questions was about that.
What do they think? I don't know.
I don't know how that's going to. I don't know how that's going to enhance you being a good British subject.
No, it's not.
Oh, I get that they could say something about the roads or how to navigate somewhere. Or when a certain national holiday is. I kind of understand that, but I kind of feel like it should really just be if you are a native English speaker. Do you really need to be passing a test about which king was on the throne in like 1066? Not really.
No, and also, presumably, talking about York and the Vikings and stuff, like, that's not our history. That's an invading force.
How far do you want to go back?
How far do you want to go back, for crying out loud? Do the Big Bang.
So I promise you now, if you arrived at that test, I think it's probably 50-50 about whether you'd pass or not.
Oh, we should do it once. I think it's quite long, isn't it? It's surprisingly
24
long.
24 questions, I think. But they're multiple choice. They are multiple choice, to be fair.
Right. Well, we should take it online and see for next week, see how many we get right.
All right, I'm up for that. That sounds good.
Yeah, cool. Done. Write it down.
Also, can we make a mental note on Thursday to talk about the Olympics, please?
Yeah, it's on. It's happening.
It's happening. It's fucking happening. Because you are a Japanese expert.
The only time we've talked about the Olympics is when I was talking about the Japanese composer being fired.
Yes.
And he actually got fired in the end, I think. So
it's been a troubled build-up.
It's been a trouble build-up. And to be honest, that was like 4 days before it kicked off. And they were still had another scandal to go.
Yeah,
which is
I know.
Incredible.
Like me after about six
the
pints of the pub.
Denial.
It's a troubled build-up. So we should talk about that on Thursday.
He will deny it. No, he won't deny it.
I think Great Britain have got a good few medals as well. But before we go to a break and do some emails, I really wanted to talk to you about something I was reading about over the weekend, which is... So you know that ultra marathons have become like a big deal now.
Yeah, so could you explain to the silly listeners that don't know what an ultra marathon is? Because I definitely know what they are.
Yeah, right. So an ultra marathon is any organised race that is longer than a marathon. So the 26.2 miles, I think the marathon is. If it's longer than that, it technically qualifies as an ultra marathon. But I think, right. I believe I'm right in saying that the passion and participation for ultra marathons is bigger than it's ever been. It's become like a really big deal. Mm. I don't know why, but it has. And there are lots of them all around the world. And I think there's probably a circuit and there's professional athletes and all the rest of it. But anyway, over the weekend, I was reading one about this event called the Badwater Ultra Marathon, right?
Right.
And it's in Badwater Basin, right? Which is the hottest part of the hottest place in the world. So it's at the bottom of Death Valley in California.
Yes.
And it's 135 miles.
And so, presumably people die and it shouldn't exist, but, you know,
well,
freedom,
yeah.
America, all that.
That's for other people to decide, I suppose. But it takes place in mid-July as well. And it can reach 54 degrees centigrade or 130 degrees Fahrenheit. And they start it at night, but of course, because it's so long, it normally takes people about the very, very quick ones. It normally takes them between 25 and 30 hours or whatever. But anyway, it's an amazing thing. Obviously, it's incredibly dangerous and there's loads of different safety things.
Imagine being in a Mr. Blobby costume.
Say again?
Imagine being in a Mr. Blobby costume.
I don't think they do it with that on. I mean, I suppose you... Well, having said that, in a Mr. Blobby costume... You wouldn't suffer from something that I read about, which made me bring this to the table today, right? Apparently, it's so hot that one of the regular kind of ailments or injuries people get is the sun beats down off the surface of the ground and beats back up again. And the sun is so strong that some of the regular complaints that happen that come from participants... is sunburnt mouths and nostrils. So they get sunburnt on the inside of their mouth and in their nostrils.
Why are they doing this to themselves?
I know. Isn't it insane?
I have no concept for that level of heat. I have no concept for anyone doing a marathon because I've never done one.
Yeah, same.
I once got access to the London Marathon as part of a radio feature and didn't do it because I sprained my ankle. And, you know, I wasn't looking forward to it anyway. So I have very little concept of what an actual marathon kind of involves, which is sad on my part. But doing it in the hottest part of the world... at the hottest time of the year, and you're getting your nostrils sunburned. You really have to look at... It's almost BDSM. It's weird. Why are you doing it?
I think there's definitely a bit of that sensibility about it, for sure. But apparently, ever since it's become the Adventure Corps Badwater Marathon, or Badwater Ultra Marathon, like an official event, no, there's never been a fatality, and apparently only 20 to 40% of people fail to reach the finishing line. So, I mean, it's pretty full on.
on temperatures, actually, we very occasionally touch on the whole Fahrenheit Celsius debate. But people have been noticing that on your Apple iPhone. Not really. But I mean, is it the only Americans that do use Fahrenheit?
Americans do Fahrenheit.
They're very big on it, yeah. So, the Apple iPhone, people were noticing that you never get 69 degrees Fahrenheit on it.
Huh.
And they thought it was because Apple just didn't want, 69, dude. Like,
really? You can't ban the number 69.
Well, because 69 has become a bit
of a bigger meme.
The French
should be fuming.
But then it turns out that I think it was Marcus Brownlee, the tech YouTuber, very very clever bloke. He sat down with a couple of phones and stuff and tested all these places around the world that would have been 69 degrees Fahrenheit. And he found that not only do you not get 69, you also don't get, I think, a 65 and a 62.
Right.
So something fishy was going on. And he found out that it was because Apple use the Weather Channel data set, effectively, and they work in Celsius. So they've obviously got to, translate from Celsius to Fahrenheit. And if you do that, you never get a 69, you never get a 65. But people thought it was a genuine bit of Apple being misery guts, like not wanting the word 69, dude, on the weather app.
So I think, interestingly enough, 69 Fahrenheit is exactly 20.55 Celsius. So I guess they would never...
You never have that.
Yeah, would never have it. It would always be 67, 68 or 70 then, I suppose. Huh.
Mm.
That is interesting.
I guess... You think nowadays though they'd be more precise, like you'd have like a, you would be able to sort of have a 25.5 or something or a 65.
I've been obsessed with the temperature since I got a bit older. The Wi-Fi I have access to always teases me about it, and because in the hot days, like when you get those heat waves in London, like we had last week, I kind of carry the thermostat around with me to see how hot it is. And sometimes I'll catch myself saying, you know what, it's actually 2 degrees cooler at this point than it was this point yesterday. And Mimi's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'll take it with me everywhere I go.
Like an actual little thermostat thing? Like a little kind of...
Yeah, it's a carry one around anyway, because you take it... The reason that we carry it around is because it does your central heating in the winter, so you don't want it stuck on the wall, because if you stick it on the wrong wall in a room that's always hot or something, it'll be very difficult for you to get the heating going. So you take it with you.
Oh, steady. So hang on. You, in your bag, have got the controller for your boiler/heating system.
Oh, at home?
So you just, right.
You carry it around with you at home.
Carry it around the house. Right, okay.
Yeah,
so, I thought you meant like in the street.
What I'm saying is, if you go to, say it's winter and it's cold outside and you want your bedroom, do you want to sleep in your bedroom and you want it to be 19 degrees or whatever...
Yeah.
Put the thermostat in the bedroom, because if you put the thermostat in a different room, it's going to do that room.
It's going to be different, right? Okay, I see. I thought you were taking it on holiday and stuff.
Yeah, I've got it here with me now. Yeah.
Well. Look, since we've moved to the coast, I am a little bit more interested in tides. I wasn't interested before. Now I'm tides are confusing. I don't know when they come in, when they come out. Some days it's earlier, some days it's not. Some days 1 p.m. it's full. Sometimes 5 in the morning is when you can actually have a swim. But who wants to go in for a swim at like 7, 8 in the morning? It's too cold.
It's interesting you brought that up, because it does change. And it's obviously to a certain extent, it's affected by the moon's orbit, right?
I thought it was like just... seasonal. I thought it was just like,
it is, as well.
If there was any change, it would just be seasonal. It wouldn't change from week to week.
It is. It does. It changes. It's because it's not exactly a 24-hour day, I think. So it changes.
To our calendar,
it moves
a
certain bit here and there. But the
I see.
Did you see that there was news a week or two ago from NASA saying that because this is a bit of a complicated one, but I remember making notes about it at the time, but we didn't talk about it, because the moon's orbit is at a slight incline relative to the Earth, there's a wobble effect, right? And there's definitely some fear that there will be a wobble coming up, and that's really going to affect the tides, and there might be a lot more serious flooding than they've had before in certain places.
Right.
So it can really affect it. But then, of course, when you factor in the idea that oceans are rising anyway because of climate change, it becomes a little bit... it can become a little bit problematic. And I don't know This is probably a bit of a leap anyway, but just as an aside, have you seen how much flash flooding there was in London like last week?
Like, oh, it was insane.
Yeah, like, it's an incredible amount of.
I saw that guy. There was that shot of the. There's a little tunnel. There's a kind of overpass and a tunnel, might be a train line. And everyone was just kind of like waiting. And this guy just absolutely just started tearing it in his car. And obviously just started floating about. He just totaled his car because he just drove into the bloody water like an
idiotic.
Idiot.
I've been stopped because of flooding and I'm going to be delayed on my journey. How can I make this better? By doing that, oh, now I've also lost my car. It's a fucking stupid thing to do. Like, you know that, and you haven't even passed your test.
He's gone from one big problem, one medium-sized problem, to the worst problem he'll ever have, and he'll be talking about that until he dies.
He's
remember
gone.
When I was an idiot?
He's taken that story from, oh, do you remember that, to, this is the worst day of my life.
It's being filmed. Yeah. And people are going, oh, mate, why have you done that? Why have you driven into it? You're a fucking idiot.
Unbelievable. Anyway, Pete, we need to have a break because we haven't had one and we need to squeeze an email or two in. So let's take a quick break while we contemplate that. And then when we come back, we'll do some emails from our lovely listeners. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1 for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi.
The lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, yeah, yeah. And everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious mm-hmm. about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness, it's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Welcome back. It's time for emails on the Luke and Pete Show. If you would like to send us a dispatch, it's really simple. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. And we can also be found on Twitter @LukeandPeteShow. Lovely.
Yes, indeed. Right, I've got an email here from Alex who says, "Hi, lads. Currently isolating due to a close contact." Sorry to hear that, Alex. Oh. "And it's given me a bit of time to look through some old LPs I haven't listened to in a while. While doing so, I was reminded of a vintage dad move by the father I have access to about a decade ago now. Jesus, I can't read to that. I read that whole sentence again. While doing so, I was reminded of a vintage dad move by the father I have access to about a decade ago now. There we go. We often used to do family car boot sales to raise a few quid and clear the house of stuff. One time, my dad rather surprisingly took his whole AC/DC collection along, laid them out on the stall, and then, brilliantly, flat out refused to sell them to anybody who inquired or made an offer. He then took them back home and stored them away again. I'm unsure exactly why he wanted to do this, other than perhaps showing off his record. I know he's very sentimentally attached to AC/DC. He once told me he only wrote in black ink for a year after original frontman Bon Scott died in 1980. I mean, I mostly write in black ink anyway. I'm not sure anyone would notice that. But it's a personal tribute, and fair enough. This leads me to ask a couple of questions, says Alex. Firstly, are either of your dads, or the dads of anybody listening, particularly precious about something? And if so, why? And secondly, what's the weirdest thing you or anyone has ever seen, bought, sold, or experienced at a car boot sale? They can be very interesting places, especially when all of the diehard collectors are out and about at 6 a.m. Cheers for the company, Alex.
Now, my dad's not precious about anything apart from everything.
Right.
You never know what his thing will be. Like, if he gets upset about something, you never know why. Like, you'll never see it coming, effectively. He'll be annoyed that someone's moved something, but you didn't know it was important to him, etc., etc. So, yeah, it always comes out of... you always get blindsided by it, to be honest. Always out of left field, that one.
Your dad, is he not attached to the bone he keeps on his chain around his neck?
Well, no one's taking that because no one wants that piece of trash.
Does he still wear it?
Yeah, he still wears it. No doubt when he departs this plane, I'll have it around my neck, like the weirdo that we are. So
shuffles off this veil of tears, I think you should wear it as a tribute.
Yeah, I think I should too.
My dad isn't really precious about... Oh, he's precious about the garage. Dad gets precious about the garage and the kind of workshop he's got next to the garage, which is fair enough because, like, it's his thing and he likes things to be in the right way. And he's also very particular about how the dishwasher is loaded.
Right, OK. Because I'm a recent dishwasher convert. I've never had a dishwasher before, and they've got a weird setup in the new house. They didn't really have a drying board, so I was like, well, we're going to have to just... They had a dishwasher, so I presume that's how they got their things done. So I got a dishwasher, and it's all... I didn't realise it needed salt because we were living like in a hard water area. I didn't really know that you just didn't put cups on the side. If you saw my dishwasher, he would hit the fucking roof. He'd have to stand in his shed for a bit. He'd be so angry.
He would. So we haven't got a drying rack at our house either, but we've got like a space on the side with like a rubber kind of mat that we use. But there's no like old fashioned like metal kind of drying thing on the side of the sink because we've got this we've got this like butler sink thing which is different. But
right.
So first of all, I'm surprised that you normally the first time I would have heard of you having a dishwasher was when you unnecessarily took it apart. That'd be first thing.
Or put washing up liquid in, which I have done before to a dishwasher.
That is a disaster. Never do that.
You'd think it would work, but it doesn't work.
No, it does not work.
It doesn't matter how little you put in, and it's so much form.
It goes to show you how little washing up liquid you have to use generally. But so I think I with the dishwasher thing, I do understand. So I think a lot of the tablets you can get now have got salt in them as well, mate. But you don't need to worry about it. It's like an all-in-one type.
No, thing. I tried that, mate.
Didn't work.
No, I need extra salt because it's a very hard water area. Seaside, isn't it?
There's nothing more disappointing than waiting for the dishwasher cycle to finish, opening the dishwasher and it's not really cleaned very well. Because I'll be honest with you now. I'll be honest with you right now. I have got a dishwasher and I know as much as this, right? I load it with dirty stuff. I press the button. One particular light lights up. I then close the dishwasher and it starts. When it finishes, it pops open. That's all I know. If I one day got to the dishwasher, we've had this new kitchen for about 3 years. If I one day got into the kitchen, opened the dishwasher and a different light was showing, I wouldn't know what to do.
You wouldn't know the diagnosis.
But that's never happened.
But what I do like about that modern technology, modern kind of white goods, they're quite fucking needy. Like, it finishes and it just starts beeping, the washing machine. Beep, beep, beep. Microwave, you finish something. Beep, beep, beep. The oven timer finishes. Beep, beep, beep. Why are you so bloody needy? Yeah. Like, the washer, as long as it's hermetically sealed, as long as I don't open it, it'll remain fresh for half a day, I reckon. And I have proved that in the past. But they're just needy. And the microwave is very needy. It just beeps for ages and then takes a minute off and then starts beeping again. All right, mate, I'll get to you. You've probably made the beans a bit hot right now, so I'm going to give it 5 minutes, OK?
Have you ever put something you shouldn't have in a dishwasher?
Like what? Like a...
Because you said... The reason I'm asking that is because you sent a very frightened video to me the other day of you putting olives in the dishwasher. Did I say dishwasher? I meant microwave.
He said microwave. Yeah, I put two olives in a microwave and it just started sparking the fuck out. It was brilliant.
Is that because their iron content's so high?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Aren't there certain things like grapes?
Grapes explode.
And stuff.
But you can do grapes for a bit. I used to put grapes in porridge and put it in the microwave. You can get away with it for about 15 seconds, but they do. They're like little grenades in the microwave for too long, and they're fucking like hot, really fucking hot as well. I think it must be because the water content's so high, but they turn into tiny fucking bastard grenades. It's bad. It's the second worst thing's happened. So two bad things have happened in my house when the Wi-Fi I have access to was away, right? One is exploding grapes in the microwave and took me ages to clean it, but thankfully the microwave was fine. Secondly, not long after we painted the bedroom, I had blueberries in my porridge and I was eating them in bed and I'd put them in the microwave as well. And I stuck my spoon into a blueberry and it absolutely spat staining blue liquid all up the wall behind me. I had to repaint the wall.
That's the thing. You don't know what's going to be. Coffee, I always worry about coffee. Coffee's fine. You can usually get that off stuff. But, anything fruity. Anything fruity on the wall is a nightmare. Like, and that's my responsibility now. I have to worry about that. I have to repaint stuff.
Listen, we should get out of here and leave, but we should leave on this note. When you're Pete Donaldson, stain removal is a big part of your life.
The dogs are involved as well. The dogs mix stain.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. Right, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this nonsense. If you've got anything to say to us about horse racing, weddings, ultramarathons, temperatures, dishwashers, microwaves, and foods that stain. Please get in touch. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Nice. You can get in touch about anything, but they're the kind of touch points for today's show. We've enjoyed talking to you. Thanks very much for lending us your ears. We hope to have them back again on Thursday. But until then, we'll say goodbye. Say goodbye, Peter.
Comprehensive. Goodbye.
Goodbye from me as well.
Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.